Achieving the highest level of performance is a critical path to success for leaders, teams, and businesses. It's more than a mindset, it's a skill set. Arizona Coaching and Consulting helps individuals, leaders, teams, and companies develop the skill set necessary to achieve enhanced levels of performance. Learn more about Arizona Coaching and Consulting capabilities, training programs, and coaching products at www.azc3.com or call 480-518-7757. Arizona Coaching and Consulting, the Performance Business Advisors. Good morning again here on Circles of Change. Lynn Moran from Arizona Coaching and Consulting Center, based out of the Phoenix area. How are you this morning, Lynn? Good morning. Well, we're going to get her back here on the line. Lynn, of course, I'll give a brief introduction as we wait for Tony to get her back up. She is formerly spent her career about 26-plus years with the Mars Candy Company and then had the opportunity throughout that progression of events to go on to be president of the Ethel M. Chocolates, which, of course, is one of the Mars boutique and high-end candy areas. She's spent time in the teddy bear industry and toys and then several years ago stepped out to start her own company, which she builds Arizona Coaching and Consulting, and Lynn does a variety of things, primarily focused in the whole area of performance, so whether that be business performance or also individual performance. Again, welcome here on the line, Lynn. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
I couldn't be better. It's been a while, so things keeping you busy?
Yeah. I am absolutely busy.
To the wall.
And it's wonderful.
Isn't it great? It's a blessing indeed.
Yeah, well, I like the fact that a lot of companies and leaders are really working on not being good, because they already are, but being better mm-hmm. at what they do and how they do it. So, I'm all about the performance and the performance mindset, so it's been very rewarding for me to work with these individuals and companies.
Yeah, that's great. Well, the topic you wanted to launch in today really comes down to, gee, what can I do, what can I influence, particularly this whole area of if I find myself in an environment where the culture may not be what it could be in a positive way.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've been thinking about this since we last spoke, and you and I have had some conversations about it. And I find it fascinating that the more organizations we go into, that people describe what the culture is of the company. But it almost seems at times, I don't know if you feel this way, but if they're talking about it as an observer.
Exactly. It's those
rather
guys.
Rather than a participant right. or a contributor.
Or creator of. Yes, a creator of. Right.
Right. So that's what got me thinking about this, which is, you know, I've talked about it before, but I feel it's so important that we need to keep coming back to you're not working in the culture, you are part of the culture. And where people will say, well, you know, it's very critical, it's very tough, then my first reaction is, and how would they describe you?
Yeah, exactly.
In this business? Because once again, we look at it from the standpoint, you know, this is also one of my favorite things to work on, which is we like to give feedback, but we're not always as interested in receiving it. And this is really a receiving feedback piece that says you don't have to be a passive participant. You actually can influence culture. It may not be where somebody walks in the door and says, wow, this is so different, but within your sphere of influence, or even broader than that, you can begin to demonstrate and live the values and beliefs that you have, regardless of what the culture may be more broadly.
Exactly. And in fact,
have you ever worked for a person like that, where everybody wanted to work for him?
Yes, and in fact, I would suggest some of our listeners might be saying actually the direct opposite is that, yeah, I remember the guy that had this negative cultural aura around him and how he wanted to get away.
Right. But I can think of one person I had the privilege of working for that everybody wanted to work for.
You bet.
Everybody. And he was so different.
And in what way?
The culture.
In what way, Lynn?
Well, it's a culture that I would describe as critical. It was kind of like, yes, that was great that you did that. What have you done today? And, oh, by the way, you did all these 50 things well, so we don't need to talk about those. Let's talk about the two that you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He was the complete opposite, which was very supportive, very understanding, very much of a mentor, and his teams always exceeded the plan.
Exactly.
Always. And I don't care how highly regarded the people were before they came on the team. So that's really another connection that I made. And when I hear a statement, once again, that the company is this way or the company is that way, if you work in a company, you're accountable for how that environment is as much as anybody else is. Yes, senior people can influence the culture more, but once again, within your own area, you can do it. And one of the primary ways to really start to influence a cultural organization is to form alliances. So if you go back to earlier programs, I've kind of stated my premise before that in business, we're like wolves. We travel in packs. And if we're in HR, we tend to hang with HR. If we're in sales, we tend to hang in sales, even to the point where I'm going to hang with my unit or region versus I'm going to start forming alliances across these boundaries. It's not always comfortable, but it's extremely rewarding.
Yes, in fact, I loved your one comment to me when we were chatting about the subject, that how some departments were even called the sales prevention department as opposed to the sales enabler.
Absolutely. And that was the entire headquarters. So that's another dynamic, which those people, they make it hard. Well, I think there's some merit in that. I don't want to dismiss feedback because that would be counter to what we've always said. However, my question would be, how do you influence that? Mm-hmm. Do you invite them out? Do you go in and have them help solve a problem with you or take on an opportunity? Or is it, I want to do this and you're my way? So, yeah, that was a very common term that I've heard more than once, which is sales prevention. And yet I know for a fact, as you do, because we work in organizations all the time, that there are others in the business who are very interested in making things work. You have to go find them.
Yeah, you have to go find them. Oh, get yourself in the traffic so they'll come find you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so sometimes I'll get questions like, well, you know, my business is different or this culture is different. I can't answer that for them. The only question I can ask, is it truly or is that what you believe?
Mm-hmm.
Because how do you know that unless you test the waters?
And one of the best ways, like you say, to form alliances, whether it be, you know, not just inside the company too, but other tangential organizations that can broaden your perspective.
Kind of like we do.
Yeah, indeed.
Right. I mean, that does add perspective and new ideas and does challenge the thought processes that we develop over time. But this whole thing about us and them, at the end of the day, there are some thems who would like to be part of us. And you need, once again, I see that as a responsibility of people who are truly leaders. Reach out and figure out what's going on. You can do incredible things. So I always say to people, start the hunt today. Go out and find them. The other thing that I think, because we are so stretched as organizations flattened and time is a premium, is to get out of the office. And I believe I was very guilty of that when I was leading organizations because there's always something to do. However, what you start to become a little distant to is competition and new ideas and new strategies that other individuals and companies are willing to share.
And yeah,
because they understand that external alliance is just as valuable as an internal.
Particularly tapping into your customers and your suppliers. You know, this whole idea of social connections, obviously we just spent a segment right before you joined us, Lynn, about the vitality of that to guide people towards truly learning new ideas and stretching. So it's right on point.
Right. So it's the old adage, right, of if it isn't broken, why fix it? Well, my question always is, but what if it could be better?
Yeah, and how do you know it's broken?
It doesn't have to be broken.
Yeah, how do you know it's broken if you don't have a perspective?
Correct. And once again, maybe it isn't broken, but that might not be the right question or the right thought process. It should be, in my mind, but can it get even better? Are there things that could happen in this business that are even beyond my dreams?
Mm-hmm.
But when I interact with others, and these alliances are so powerful. And I don't mean a salary survey, and I mean roundtables like you're talking about, where you have formed a group of similar or higher level individuals across business disciplines. Notice I didn't say silos, but business disciplines, who are able to challenge and even offer different perspectives. I believe that's one of the most powerful things once I got into it, that has helped shape a lot of what I try to do today.
You know, you mentioned it also in the just a moment ago too, the power of the question. And to suddenly wake up and realize you're asking yourself the wrong question, many times that's prompted by alliances with others or just getting out of the office to help you slightly shift those words, maybe a bit to the right, to make you at least, you know, be mindful of other possibilities.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, one of my favorite questions, no matter where I am usually, whether we're talking about individuals or leadership or part of the business, and it's, you know, these are all the things that we want to change, and this is how we do it. The question that always comes first in my mind is, so if that's the way you always do it, how's it working for you?
Mm-hmm, right.
How's that working? Because truly, if it was working extremely well, why would I be sitting there?
Yeah, that's right.
Really? All right?
Yeah, that's right.
And that's not a criticism. That's that challenge to say you're locked in this paradigm and you... You know, it's okay to look at somebody and say, I think we have to make a change. Not sure what it is, but I'm going to go out and have discussions and see how others have handled this.
Okay. Lynn,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please, go ahead.
I was just going to say, sometimes in business, they like to still walk 10 miles through the snow.
That's right, exactly. Because at least we see these tracks that we've left behind
mm-hmm.
us, or we got the snow shovel.
Oh, how nicely put.
You know, or we got the snow shovel to show that we're doing some mm-hmm. heavy lifting. We're not necessarily headed in the right direction, but we're lifting.
Yeah.
Lynn, at the onset of our conversation, you talked about when you talk to people or they comment about culture, how many times it's what's around me or it's them doing it to me. And I know your third premise is really to challenge people to get off the sidelines, right?
Right. When I'm usually working with leaders, there's always, and I don't mean this in the context of insincerity, but there's a game being played. And so if people are playing basketball and you come in and you want to play baseball, that's not going to work. Or if they're playing any kind of team sport and you want to come in and be the solo tennis player, that's not going to fit. So not only do you have to get off the sidelines and empower yourself, you need to also engage in the work and the esprit de corps that's going on, because once you're in it, is I believe the only time in which you can begin to influence it. You don't influence from the sideline or from being an observer. And if you're not careful, you become a victim.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. And they treat me terrible here. And, you know, they're always doing this to me. Well, I would say maybe not. Maybe they're just running the business. And this is the impact it has on you as a leader or, you know, at any level of the organization. But that's a passive approach versus, I think these things work really well in our company, and there's just some things I'd like to see changed. I think I'm going to start, you know, kind of raising some of those points and getting in the game mm-hmm. where I can truly influence.
Well, I think that's where really a lot of people, though, get confused with, I say, this element that there's a big difference between your being excluded from something than from there being an oversight that you weren't included. And so many times we'll jump to the conclusion you were purposely excluded, but in truth, the other individuals, the other department may not even understand the value of including you. And so, oh, by the way, that takes your stepping forward, as you would say here, get in the game.
Absolutely. And you know what's ironic about that when you say it? It brings to my mind right away another question, which is, did you ask?
Did you ask? That's right. Right.
All right. Because we truly don't know people's motivations, do we?
Mm-mm.
That's once again sitting on the sidelines making assumptions. Jump in the game and say, hey, I want to have the ball passed to me also. How do I make that happen? So I really think this is one of the most critical areas for leaders in an organization, which is empowering yourself and becoming a role model and ensuring that, if I could give you a quick example, I think we have the time.
No, please, yes.
Back in my, when I was in corporate, we used to have a lot of conversations and questions for marketing people. And at one point, one sales leader came to me and said, why are they always talking to you? You know, why don't they ever ask any other salesperson? Well, of course, initially you want to say, because I have all the answers. You know, that's not true, right?
Right.
That would be the youthful Lynn speaking. The mature Lynn would say, because once a month, I have lunch with them.
Mm-hmm, right.
And we talk about things that are going on. And in actuality, there's five of us who I've invited into the conversations because they have the customers or, you know, they are very instrumental to this brand's growth. And the person looked at me and said, can I go to lunch next time? Of course.
Of course, yeah.
Of course, because that person had incredible insight. That's just as basic as getting off the sideline and once again starting to build alliances. It can be that basic.
You know, the other piece that I often chip in on this subject, we've been talking with Lynn Moran here, of course, from Arizona Coaching Consulting, her thoughts about shifting the culture, about forming alliances, get out of the office and get off the sidelines. You know, the whole conversation of what makes an effective coach, or let's partner that for the sake of our conversation with leader, it isn't the person that's barking orders from the sidelines, but it's one that's instead, while they might be standing on the sidelines so others can shine, they're very present on the field with guidance, with ideas, with experiences to share.
And I love that analogy also. What I would equate that to is they have the playbook.
Right, right.
But they're letting people run the plays.
Mm-hmm.
So they're engaged, but they don't have to carry the ball, to use that analogy still, all the time. They don't have to be the one to take the shot. They absolutely, as a leader, are probably the ones who are putting together the plays that are going to be run or the actions that are going to be taken and the motivation, the energy behind what's going to be done. But they do understand that they don't have to do it.
And when it comes to shifting behaviors then in the process, of course, then your fourth point is not only do they have the playbook, the guidance, and give that to others, but then they actually model the way, don't they?
Right, and that's one of the things that Stephen Covey talked about back in the, what, 80s?
Right, exactly.
And I really always, that always rang very true with me. Because of many things he said, there were two that stuck with me, and this was one of them. And talk is cheap. You have to walk the talk. You have to model the behaviors that you want. Or people will give you... they'll give you a surface reaction to stay out of trouble, but you haven't engaged their passion. And that's when I believe true performance happens, is when you have the mind and the heart, not when you have one or the other. So for senior leaders, you know, I'm always kind of nudging, as I call it, around, are you realigning business resources around your clients or customers? Do you know who your talent is and based on what objective data? Get off of the functional silos and get into subsets of a business pipeline and reposition an organization to have an external view. At the end of the day, I haven't found an industry yet where the top 10 to 20 customers delivered 80 to 90% of the operating plan. It's held true so far with every organization I've been in.
Mm-hmm.
I've never not seen it. So you should leverage your leadership and the mindset around external alliances as well as internal. And remembering at the end of the day, it's really about who you're selling to or who you're providing the service to.
Well, you know, and circling that back then to changing the culture, what you'd obviously tie in here is in the course of your working with that 80-90%, you know, your top 10 to 20 customers or business associations, that's where you really want to go to percolate the ideas, embed different behaviors to really cause a sustainable shift.
Absolutely. And And if you notice, it's always about leadership. Leadership, I haven't used a title. I haven't said CEO or vice president or director. Leaders in organizations are throughout the entire business. And at times, they may be where you least expect them. That's why realigning business resources where it needs to be allows senior executives, those who are sitting at the highest levels, to begin to identify who the true organizational leaders are. They are the ones who get it done. They are the ones who can reach across organizational barriers and form alliances.
Right on. Lynn, back to that third point about getting off the sidelines. One comment you made was, you know, each of us to really make sure that when we get in the game, that it's the right game and the right match for us. And I think you would say this isn't just the skills, the core competencies you have and so on, but the values and the guiding principles that are the right ones for you. And that can be one of the challenges if you're in a culture that you're doing your best to personify, you know, a different set that may not be the right match for you. But perhaps not to run to the hills, but consider where else in that same organization you might be able to snap in, right?
Right. I think one of the opportunity areas that all businesses and leaders have is at times they hire people and say, we want you to change the culture. If I was an executive recruiter, which I'm not, but I've done plenty of hiring over my career and sourcing, that is not that individual's role. They need to be part of the catalyst that's going to move for organizational change. They need to be engaged in the process and get as many other people engaged as possible. But at the end of the day, the culture is complex. So if a company said, we want you to begin this cultural shift within, you know, your organization and then across your peer levels initially, or across your peers, then I would say, okay, you know what? That's probably doable, all right, because initially you can have that kind of influence. You don't have to do it the way it's always been done. But to change a culture requires to have leaders in every key business process and business area to begin to kind of roll this huge or turn the ship, whatever analogy you want, together. You can't put one person in at the wheel and not have anybody cranking up the engines or, you know, assisting with looking for direction. And I believe that's part of, at times, where we might not take the greatest advantage out of the talent that we hire into companies.
Exactly. Or actually get the ones that are sitting under the mushrooms the opportunity to go at bat with them on the right field, playing with the right ball. I think that what it steps back to, too, Lynn, is this, your very first point about forming alliances, whether you've been in an organization a long time or you're new on the field, is that idea of beginning the hunt today for those of common mindset, not necessarily think exactly the way you do, but have can get aligned to that goal and mission you want to take them on. Well, Lynn Moran, thank you so very much. Your thoughts, what one manager or one leader can do about a culture and shift it, from Arizona Coaching, Coaching and Consulting Center. That's www.azc3.com. Have a great afternoon, Lynn, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next month.
Thanks. Take care.
You betcha.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays 10 to noon right here on 104.1 The Truth for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.